Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for a moment of silent meditation. Thank you. All right, we're going to open it up with any visitors at all? Okay. We will have a visitors portion at the end of the meeting because we will be discussing the bond. So if you have questions, we will have time to ask any questions at the end. Presentation, Dr. Graham? There you go.
Good evening. For those of you that don't know, I am Ken Graham, the superintendent of schools. I think I'm on my 13th or 14th day here. It seems like a heck of a lot longer. And I'm going to be presenting briefly to the Board of Education, to the public, about the bond proposition with our new assistant superintendent for business, Mr. John O'Keefe.
And I've been here for 3 days.
Between us, we have a whole 3 weeks of collective experience here. We wanted to just kind of take the group backward for a moment and just talk about the timeline. In 2014, the district was informed of compliance issues from the State Education Department with regard to ADA. There was an audit that was conducted. These are issues that we have to address, and we had developed a plan to do. In 14-15, there was the development of this bond proposal, and that took place throughout the course of the school year. And then in 15-16, there were modifications to the proposal. The environmental impact studies were conducted as well. All said and done, the bond is a total of $60.9 million. And what will that do for us as a district? That will bring us into full compliance with the ADA issues that were brought to the district's attention. That will help us fund urgent infrastructure and equipment needs. It will enhance student, staff, and visitor safety at all of our buildings as well. And it will complement work that we just approved through the energy efficiency program that we just closed on last week.
So basically, the bond in its current proposal, and this is still for the board to decide, is two propositions. The bulk of the work will be in Proposition 1, which is $47.6 million. That's going to be most of your ADA compliance work, your health and safety items, things throughout the building, and all necessary equipment. Proposition 2 will be turf fields at both high schools, concession stands at each, and restrooms within those buildings. And the way right now it's structured, you'll have two propositions as a voter, Proposition 1, Proposition 2. Proposition 1 must pass for Proposition 2 to pass, even if Proposition 2 passes on its own. So you need a simple majority for each, but if Proposition 1 were to go down, even if there was a simple majority on Prop 2, it will not go forward. So just going to give you a quick overview. There's going to be a lot of information that's going to go up on the website in coming days. As we fine-tune things, but certain things like making uniform door locks throughout the buildings, classroom sinks, lavatories, drinking fountains. There's a lot of ADA compliance issues with sidewalks and curb cuts for wheelchair access, concrete walkways along certain areas that don't currently have sidewalks, and various auditorium upgrades. Health and safety things are things like student drop-off, student parking circles. We have roof restorations and replacements on most of the buildings, not necessarily all the roofs on every building, but whatever roofs that have not been done yet will be replaced. Lighting and rigging upgrades in the auditoriums. There'll be security vestibules on buildings that don't have them, additional cameras, things of that nature, as well as removal of some asbestos tile that still remains in some of the buildings, and it'll be replaced with vinyl tile like there is in this room here. Then it's just different equipment. There's a list of about $6 million worth of various equipment, 30 school buses. That's not to increase our current fleet. That's actually to replace buses that are aging out, and they wouldn't be all purchased at one time. They would phase them in over a five-year period, so six buses would be replaced. The old ones would be traded in when we purchase the new. Grounds equipment, snow plows, tractors, things of that nature. There's different computer and system upgrades throughout the district that have to be done. Our optic fiber system can't support modern technology. We have old Cat 5 wiring, we need to upgrade to Cat 6. Things like that will be done, so there'll be wiring throughout the district. And then different athletic equipment, including some scoreboards for North, electronic scorers tables, field turf grooming equipment, things of that nature.
So just to kind of complement what Mr. O'Keefe said, this work was not done in isolation. This bond was developed keeping in mind the energy performance contracts that we have just closed on, as well as the Smart Schools Investment Plan. So a lot of these pieces within the bond are complementary to each of those two items. When we talk about roofs here, some of the roofs have to be replaced so that we can put solar on top of them. Without replacing the roof or having sufficient roofs, we cannot put solar panels on top of them. Similarly, with some of the technology upgrades to our infrastructure will allow us to use the roughly $11 million of Smart Schools money so that we can upgrade student technology.
Proposition 2, as we said, is primarily the work at the high schools. It's replacement of two existing turf fields, one that you have at each building. Those fields don't need to be replaced at this moment, but they're nearing the end of their useful life, so it would probably be one of the later phases in the bond. There'll be new turf fields installed for varsity baseball, softball, and a multi-purpose field. Those will be done on those sites as well. And we actually have an upcoming slide just to give you a conceptual schematic of what that would look like. North currently has field lighting, but it needs to be replaced. This would be for energy efficient field lighting. Running track at East would need to be refurbished. And there's construction of a concession stand with bathrooms at each facility. And I know it's hard to see from this image. You have East on your left and North on your right. At 12 o'clock on East is your new baseball field. Around at the 3 o'clock position is replacement of the turf on the existing field. And then below you have your softball field and your multi-purpose fields. And basically dead center of that rectangle box that you probably have trouble seeing next to the field, that's the approximate area where the concession stand would be. And basically the mirror image on the other side for North. So again, the total bond cost as it's proposed right now is just shy of $61 million, broken into the two pieces. When we take a look at the building aid that the district will receive, which is 76% of all aidable components, and not everything in the $61 million will be aidable. A rough estimate based on our architect and our financial advisors is probably somewhere in the 90% range. So keeping that in mind, the average taxpayer will be paying about $50 per year more if the bond were successful to pass. And that's before taking into account the savings from the energy performance contract. The energy performance contract is about $21 million worth of work. All of that work is cash positive. So work is being done, whether it be lighting, the solar panels, insulation, things of that nature. Money is being spent to pay for the work, but the money that we're saving on energy actually more than pays for the project itself. We end up netting about $500,000 a year. So if we looked at that $500,000 a year and place it against this, it actually drops the average cost to the taxpayer about $28 a year, a little over $2 a month. Plus doing the $3.5 million worth of technology work within the bond where we're receiving aid frees up money for classroom technology that Dr. Graham could speak to. The Smart Schools bond, it's a little confusing because they use the word bond. we're not bonding for that money. That money was actually bonded in a vote that you voted on as taxpayers with the state several years ago. There was $2 billion throughout the state. This district has a piece worth about $11 million. It's basically like a grant. So we have a technology plan. We'll put together a project that speaks to that technology plan. We apply to the state, get approval for the work. We do the work. We submit the bills to the state. They refund us 100%. And these are just the next steps. We're still finalizing some of the CECRA, and that's part of the process we have to go through to be sure there's no environmental impact that the project will have on the surrounding community. We'll continue to review all the documents and the proposals, you know, with our bond council, with our district council, as well as with the Board of Education. As it stands right now, administration is going to probably be making a recommendation to the Board of Education at our August meeting to move forward with calling for the special meeting. The vote is currently scheduled for October 25th. So if that were to happen next month, obviously as soon as school starts through September and October, we'd be informing the community, going to PTA meetings, other board meetings, et cetera, informing folks, obviously putting more information up on the website. The vote would be on the 25th. And then the timeline begins for how soon the work can be done. Some work can start relatively soon when it's straightforward work like roof replacements. Anything that requires any engineering and design and planning, that will take upwards of a year for the State Education Department to give us authorization. So it might be a year and a half down the road before shovels in the ground and stuff like that.
Thank you, Mr. O'Keefe. At this time, we can open it up to questions from the Board of Education.
Okay. Anyone? Vic?
Dr. Graham, a couple of community members that had saw the packet that was posted on social media had emailed me and asked some questions as to why would we be doing repairs on buildings that we're going to be closing. Can you address that?
So initially, the bond proposal was developed prior to determining which buildings were going to be closed and which ones were going to remain open. Those projects at some of the schools that are closed would be changed or altered so that we would really be looking at compliance issues at those schools. So while we may not be opening Gate Lot in the fall, there are compliance issues that are associated with ADA that we still need to do, especially the fact that we may open up that building as a school at some point in the future, whether it's to an outside agency for another school or for Sachem students at some point in the future. So that's something that we would be doing moving forward now, is really looking at the projects in detail at each of the closed buildings and determining which are the projects that absolutely must get done in terms of compliance, and then prioritizing them there. So that packet that Mr. Canales is referring to was initially developed prior to the closings. We had put resolutions on the agenda for this evening. If you saw an early iteration of the agenda, the resolutions to move forward with the bond were there, including the environmental reviews. And what we decided to do is to take a step back and hold that adoption of those resolutions off until the August 24th meeting, so that it gives the board, the cabinet, the community a little bit more time to consider this.
Thank you. Anyone else? Bill?
In considering the energy performance contract revenue that's going to be generated, I'm not an expert on energy performance contracts, but I'm curious, we're using an estimation. Are we guaranteed the revenue of $500,000 a year, or is that something that can change based upon prices of energy per kilowatt hour and that
it's
sort of thing?
It's a projection. I mean, for the energy performance contract to be valid, it does have to be cash positive. The $500,000 per year projection could change. I mean, there is an escalator built in for annual energy increases, so they are relatively accurate. It's not something that's new. Johnson Controls does these in districts throughout the island, throughout the state. So it's common work, solar panels, things of that nature. So they can pretty much estimate based on where we are, how many Sundays there are per year, what sort of return we're going to get. I think it's a 2.1 meg array system over the 10 buildings. It's about 2,100 kilowatts. I forget the exact number, but per building, 250 kilowatts per building.
So 500,000 would be the upside.
Correct.
What we could expect, but
right,
be a downside. Do we have a sense of what the downside could be, worst case scenario? Do we lay that out for us?
Yeah, I'd have to look at a little. I mean, again, the just a limited amount of time. I've had to take a look at it. I have worked with Johnson Controls. I have worked with ECG in the past on projects in different districts, and they've been pretty accurate. And it's, again, straightforward work. It's not like that they're putting in a new boiler and they're theorizing that they're going to have energy savings because it's a new boiler as opposed to an oil boiler. You know, this is energy producing project.
Laura?
I think the last time our district had passed a bond, from my recollection, I believe there were also components that we had to be ADA compliant. Has something changed, like that we're not anymore, or are there different regulations or something?
Well, I mean, ADA, the law was passed in 1990.
Right.
In 1990, you had 5 years to bring all of your buildings into compliance. So without looking at each of your buildings, I'm assuming that there's a lot of things that weren't brought into compliance over the last 25 years. In 2010, additional laws were passed for accessibility, and that's what a lot of this speaks to with the curb cuts and things like that, because it's more specific. You know, the original ADA, you had certain requirements for bathrooms and things of that nature. Now there's all sorts of accessibility issues with, you know, button controls and doors that'll open and things of that nature.
So while previous bonds may have addressed all of the issues that the district may have had and brought us into full compliance with ADA, as Mr. O'Keefe mentioned, in 2010, there were some amendments, and that may be some of the issues that we're facing at this point with non-compliance.
Yeah, I mean, I'd really have to tour the buildings to give you an accurate list and with my own eyes of what I see based on what's on paper, but I would trust that our architects and our engineering firm that did this review for you over the last year and a half obviously has done those inspections.
And then my second question, you said about 90% would be aidable.
That's the approximation.
On Proposition 2, which is the turf fields, concession stands, and restrooms, is any of that aidable?
That should be aidable. It has to be tied, though, to a project within a building. So you
okay.
Tie, when the architects send the project up to State Ed for approval, any work done within educational, in the building itself, whatever those pieces are, when you tie a project outside to its site work, then it's aidable. If you did the site work all by itself and you only had a prop just to do the fields, that
right.
would not be aidable at all.
Right.
So it's by tying it to the work in Prop 1 that makes it aidable, which is the other reason why if Prop 1 doesn't pass, Prop 2 can't pass.
So it's only because of Prop 1 that Prop 2 would be... and what is, do you know the lifespan for a turf field, approximately?
Well, the warranties, I think, are somewhere in the 8 to 10-year range, but fields have been lasting, you know, 12 to 15 years in certain, it depends on the usage. You know, is it just being used by varsity football, or is it being used by booster clubs and other organizations within the community? As long as it's maintained properly, you know, because there is a fluffing and a re, you have to put fill back into the field as it's worn out. As long as that's done, the carpet doesn't get damaged and extend the life.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Dr. Graham, I'd mentioned that I would like to hold the question for the audience, but while it's fresh in their minds, if the audience has any questions regarding the bond, go ahead.
As a former baseball player on turf, are these turf fields going to be artificial or natural grass?
Artificial.
Artificial. I have some reservations because major league fields are being converted back because of the nature of what happens to athletes that play on those fields. And here we have young people aspiring to be future athletes in maybe other endeavors such as major league and so on. And we're putting them into a turf field that's artificially built. Is that correct?
That is the proposal.
Well, I think that you're going to be getting some kind, not from me necessarily, I'm not controversial that way. I'm just merely stating to you, as one who played on both as a boy, and I've seen ball players, and I've read it aptly because I am an athlete.
I mean, turf and baseball has changed dramatically over the years. And again, I'm not an expert on turf.
Are these turf fields similar to the ones that maybe are compatible to the major leagues?
It's going to be similar to even on a turf, like our current turf fields.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, it was more like an astro carpet on almost like concrete. It was like full.
So there has been modification to make them more safe.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, Mr. Nicosia, the many of the baseball fields on the area are now moving towards this turf, and it's more or less one piece of carpet on the rubber bed, and they'll paint the base paths a different color, or the infield is a different color. But it's all that soft turf now, and that is a transition that we're seeing island-wide for many of the fields.
Can I be able to ask a second question related to the athletic?
Yeah, if you don't mind, though, if you could just come up to the microphone so that we can capture the question. Thank you.
Thank you. In regard to the concession stand, is that going to be a firmly set building?
It's going to be a 300-square-foot building.
And
I mean, I haven't seen any drawings of it yet, but that's my
And opinion. The concession stand, if I remember correctly, what I see, it's used during athletic endeavors?
Correct.
And how much is that going to cost of this $13,285,000? I'm going to ask that question for a reason.
I believe the proposed construction costs are about $400,000 each.
$400,000. And it's used only on athletic activities?
Or for whatever activity is being done on those athletic
activities. Relating to concessions. It's got material there that's sold during the games.
Correct.
Isn't it possible to consider and study or review the possibility of a $450,000 building to be mobile so that it can be there during the games and have ability to move it someplace else rather than have a fixed structure there that deteriorates with weathering and all that because it's made out of material, a building material, whereas a mobile unit is built with a different kind of construction?
I don't think you would get building aid on stuff. You'd be talking about like a food truck.
In other words, we're building this because you get aid because it's a building and not because of the possibility that you could buy something much cheaper and be able to be mobile and use it in other places when it's necessary.
So I think one of the other features of this building or these buildings, one at East and one at North, is bathrooms,
also bathrooms.
As well. So it's not just a food stand or a food shack. It's also bathrooms for people who are using the fields.
All right. Thank you.
Anyone else? I just want to make sure clear.
That I understood you correctly, because I don't want misinformation getting out to the public. Did we just say that the size of the concession stand is it's a 300 or 400 square foot stand?
I believe it's 300 square feet.
300 square feet, and that the cost would be $400,000
with the bathrooms and putting in obviously sanitation facilities and things of that nature.
I mean, that seems incredibly high to me.
I just looked at the raw numbers.
I'm just guessing there's got to be more. I know you're just looking at these things, but I just don't want it to go out to the community through the recording tonight or anything, and people say we're paying a ridiculous amount of money for a 400-square-foot building. So we will look into that and figure out exactly what we're getting.
Sure. Yeah, I don't have a conceptual on
right.
what that looks
okay.
like.
Okay.
As we move forward with all issues and items within the bond, we will be archiving that on our website, including this evening's presentation. This will be up. So we will dedicate a tab, if you will, to the capital bond, and we'll be putting all of the associated documents, presentations, anything that's happening here would be shared with the public on our website.
Anyone else in the audience? If you think about it, we will have another visitor section at the end if you want to still ask any questions.
Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Consent agenda for business items 4-1 through 4-2. Motion, please. Terry, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Personnel items. 5. Consent agenda for personnel items 5A1 through 5D5. Motion, please. Terry, second. Sarah? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Just a minute. We happen to have in the audience Mr. John Carity, is it?
Carity.
Stand up, John. Carity, is it?
Yeah.
He's our new Assistant Director for Health and Phys Ed. Congratulations, John. Good luck.
Yep. Mr. Falco, if I could just add.
Sure.
John's been an assistant principal with us at East High School for the past 2 years. There were 18 applicants for this position.
A committee conducted rigorous interviews of multiple candidates, and John rose to the top out of that candidate crew, and we're very happy to be appointing him this evening.
Good luck, John.
Tony.
Yes.
We also have Karen Asner here this evening. She's
our
new department chair for the art department for
the Sitchin
School District.
Congratulations, Karen. Anyone else that I missed? Okay. We're up to, I guess, action items? No. Yes, action items. Okay. Committee contracts, consent agenda, action items 611 through 614. Motion, please. Terry, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, 614. On page 9, 6.2, approval of Serini & Associates, LLP. Motion, please. Terry, second. Vic, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.3, superintendent registration for Superintendent Institute, new Superintendent Institute. Motion, please. Terry, second. Vic, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Good luck with that. 6.4, approval of renewal of excess workers' compensation insurance employer's liability. Motion, please. Terry, second. Vic, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.5, approval of resolution for closing for Coates Avenue property. Motion, please. Terry, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.6, approval of contracts for managerial confidential employees. Motion, please. Bill, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. None of them are here, right? Appointment of positions of the for the 16-17 school year. Motion, please. Terry, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.8, Board of Education mandated state training. Motion, please. Bill, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.9, athletic trip. Motion, please. Terry, second. Vic, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.10, approval of coaching assignments for the 16-17 school year. Motion, please. Terry, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, 611 on page 15. Approval of district-wide lifeguards. Motion, please. Vic, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Decision of abolishment of two head custodial positions.
There's a question.
Motion, please, first.
Motion.
Terry, seconded. I need a second, then a discussion. Vic, a second. Go ahead, Bill.
I know we've been through this before.
The language of these resolutions here is confusing to me as to the way they're worded. Can someone explain precisely what's going on here?
On to this particular one we're talking about?
612 and 613.
Okay.
Yes. Back on the June 15th board agenda, we had the abolishment of positions as a result of the school closings. Subsequent to that, we did receive notification of some folks who were going to be retiring or resigning, and as a result of vacating positions, we now have to update what's in our action items for our agendas to report to civil service so that we can ensure that we have folks reported correctly. And that we may not be laying off some folks that would have otherwise been laid off, or adjusting Pell preferred eligibility list through civil service through our reporting after our board approves.
So it's about identifying the people that are being removed from the positions? Is that what we're attempting to do here, to clarify our list, our Pell lists?
It's about updating the information on the individuals who may or may not be impacted, so that way civil service can give us a correct information for subsequent Pells. Yes.
Get rid of two custodial positions,
mm-hmm.
right? They're still gone?
The positions are still as is with a number of budgeted positions. It's just the employees who will be laid off effective August 31st of this school year. So it's adjusting that to make sure that that's accurate and updated like we did in the previous board agenda. And we're anticipating that we wouldn't have any other retirements prior to the layoffs. We just received one last week.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.13, abolishment of two head custodian positions. Motion, please. Terry, second. Vic, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 6.14, approval of budget transfers, $50,000 or greater. Motion first, please. Terry, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Dr. Graham, maybe you could do a little explanation on
sure.
this?
Sure. Anytime that there's a budget transfer in excess of $50,000, it requires board action. These two budget transfers are dealing with one. The first is the curb cuts that were done already for some of those ADA compliance. That was done in part by a grant that was secured out of our grants offices. So this year we're outlaying the $62,530. In the 16-17 school year, we will be receiving $50,000 in return for that work. So it's a net cost of $12,000. Now that's money that's currently in our budget. It's just a matter of moving it to the proper code. Similarly, the transfer for $99,400, that is for separation pay for individuals who have retired or left the district. And again, that's money that's in our current budget, but we do need to make sure we're following our proper accounting procedures and we put that in the proper codes.
Okay. We did get an approval. Okay. We're up to 6.15. Recommendations from the Committee on Special Ed. Motion Terry, second Vic. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Monthly reports. Anything on legislator, budget advisory? You have something? Go ahead.
Hi. I haven't worked on anything this summer other than my tan. but what I would like to do, and as we did the last time, our state legislators were elected. I would like to have a meet and greet. We had it several years ago, and we invited all of our state, you know, everyone running for a position in our state assembly and the state senate. So I would like to do that again. We had such a great success with the forum that we had last spring, and it was really informal. And so instead of having something like that again, I thought it'd be nicer to have a meet and greet so that our community members can see who's running. And the last time we did it, we had everyone come because it's an opportunity for them also to, you know, campaign a little bit and, you know, nonpartisan. So we'll invite everybody. Okay. But I don't have a date yet. I was trying to upload the district calendar on my phone, but there was no service in here. So I have to check the calendar before I pick a date. But I'm thinking sometime in October it would be a timely time to do it.
Okay. Great.
Having been co-chair with the committee for the last several years, I'd like to have an opportunity to interact with the members of the board to get feedback from you as to whether we're doing our job, the kind of feedback that gives us impetus to understand what you would like to see more of. I mean, we're constantly giving you what we're trying to do, but reciprocally, we don't get any kind of feedback in the form of even confirmation and paperwork to say, this is what we'd like to see more of, less of, an evaluation of what we've done. I mean, we need a report card too sometimes.
And so add to that, it's
yes.
come up before, if there's any particular issues that you would like for us to address with our local legislators. We've always, you know, done budget, obviously, but there's more to being a part of a school district than just money. I know that you may not see that, but, you know, some of us see the other pieces, and that's what we found out when we had our forum last spring, that our community members had great questions and great concerns, and it wasn't necessarily all about dollars and cents. So if you have any issues, you know, come to us, and we're happy to contact the legislators on your behalf. And I know that, you know, the Board of Ed has always been able to do that, and the superintendent has always done that as well. So part of what we do sometimes it's even just about building relationships. So, you know, if there's anything in particular that you would like to see or anybody on the board, please share that with us.
Because I'd just like to piggyback to what you just said. Having been in Albany and Washington, she's been to Washington. We've been around to meet the people that make decisions germane to our concern, which is education of our children. And sometimes there's other aspects besides the money that we ask for to run our things. They have responsibilities to review the legislature that they've passed in the past and see if it needs any kind of twittering, upticking and things like that, but also legislation that we might think they wanted to examine, because otherwise they do things in Albany from a statewide, and I don't think they get the legislative oversight from us. You're a legislator. Certainly you review the rules of the school. You change the goals of the school and things like that, which is commendable. But we like to think that if I were a legislator, I would welcome ideas from the grassroots. What is it you're looking for to change the way we legislate and things like that? They don't get that. I'm working with Senator Croce, and I keep looking at and finding out what do these people do when they leave Albany in June, they finish their job. From June to January when they get back is a 6-month period. And they're doing constituent work. And I don't see any. I don't see much.
They're meeting with superintendents. I met with Senator.
Excuse me.
I met with Senator Croce.
Yes,
today.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, which is commendable since you're right on. But I'm saying that when we meet with them, we need to have some kind of tangible thing to say. You're doing your job. You're not. This is what we'd like to see, and so on. And that's.
Okay. A report card will follow then. I said a report card will follow.
Okay.
Okay. We have any updates, right, Ken? No. Okay. Any visitors? Nothing? Okay. All right. Nice and quick tonight. Need a motion to go into exec? Vic, second. Terry, all in favor? Opposed. Motion is carried. We're going to exec. We will not be out to vote. Thank you, and we'll see you on the 24th.